You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Walao eh!
The Gula Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word.
Alright, kia ora, te whanau. Hope you all have been tuning in and having a great evening tonight. The last track we were just listening to was Rockstar by Lisa, former member of Korean girl group Blackpink, but she is of Thai origin, so she qualifies for our show tonight.
Yeah.
Alright, so before we head into the interview with the lovely artist that JC has been talking to, we have a little bit of an ad break, so we're going to be playing that, but stay tuned because we have a lovely corridor with a wonderful artist that JC is quite familiar with and has worked with in the past as well.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned, guys.
You've heard of Hawaii. Sounds wonderful. Well, now you're going to hear about Hawaiian Airlines' amazing deal. For a limited time, fares to Honolulu start from just $999 return. That also sounds pretty wonderful. Hawaiian Airlines. Black Friday sale fares out now till December 3rd. Visit hawaiianairlines.co.nz for all the details.
Imagine this. A summer morning. The radio is on. You hear Johnny on the radio.
We're just turning off the motorway. We're heading out to the winner's house
now. He's broadcasting from the car, headed in your direction. It can't be. Could this be your year? No. Yes. That's your street he's turning down. The dog barks. The doorbell rings.
Congratulations! You've won the 95BFM Summer Sorted Super Prize Pack.
This year, the prize pack features
two return flights to Hawaii and a $2,000 hotel voucher from Fusion Travel.
A double pass to Om Festival.
Six tickets to Smashed, the nightcap to Ahure Toi o Tamaki Auckland Arts Festival Cabaret for the 2025 festival in the Spiegel Tent.
A double pass to Slack Barn Festival.
A double pass to Chaos in the CBD.
A year's supply of Lion's Mane Mushroom Capsules from Flow State.
A 12-month subscription to Flying Out Record Club.
Two adult summer season passes to Paradise Springs.
Plus heaps more!
The Summer Sorted Super Prize Pack. Text SUMMER plus your name and B-card number to 5395. More info and B-card signups at 95bfm.com.
Walao eh!
The Gula Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word.
Alright guys, we're back after that quick ad break. I swear to God, I had no idea that it would be my voice in that first commercial. Shout out to Jules. Anyway, JC, you had a lovely conversation with an amazing artist that we're going to be presenting to everyone listening at the moment. Would you like to tell us about this artist and what why
their
work
is, why her?
And why their work is important to you and, you know.
Yeah.
Tell us about this artist, JC.
Well, thank you for letting me talk about my friend Jewel Usu. She and I have been involved in a creative community called the Converse All Stars. I was in the year before when she started, and then I just bumped into her online. You know how when people go online and they just see someone that they like on a an ad or like a random content, and I just saw, oh my gosh, she's so cool, and then I just followed her and then hit her up randomly, and then we found out that
you reached out to her.
Yes.
Through social media.
Yeah. And she is listening tonight as well.
Wonderful.
So Jewel, I honestly am glad I reached out to you, because one, I don't think I wouldn't have been able to talk to you in a way that we have talked in the past and in the future, because I really am looking forward to working with you more and more, because she is an amazing electronic/pop artist. Like, she's based in Melbourne and she is Filipino and Ghanaian born. So she's a really cool person to talk to about certain things like that. And like, I am so privileged to have interviewed her with her certain things in her music, in her artistry, music, and everything in between.
All right. And we are going to play that interview and the conversation with you guys.
But before that,
we have more announcements.
Jewel, if you are listening, thank you so much. And I love you. I really hope you do come to Auckland near in the future to work on something. Just a little bit of a plug-in for me.
And maybe we can have you on the show as well.
Oh my gosh, yes. But here is the interview with Jewel Uusu with me.
First of all, can you please introduce yourself, Jewel?
Sure. Kia ora, I'm Jewel Uusu.
an artist now living in Melbourne, but grew up in Hong Kong and New Zealand. I'm originally from the Philippines and Ghana.
Awesome. Okay, so finally nice to officially see you face to face because I've only known you through online. I know it's been like a hectic year. Can you tell us about like your whole year for you recently from January to like now, really?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, it's been a really busy year. I got to work on a lot of music and released an EP earlier in the year that I've been working on over the past year. So that was like a huge achievement that came out in April, I think. I want to say April or May.
No, it was May.
Was it May? Oh my gosh, I don't even know. That's so funny. Oh, you know better than me. Yeah, so that one came out in May, but I've been like gradually releasing the singles. And it was called Jewel Wave. It was really fun to make because it felt like a lot of very like playful sounds and it just felt like fun. It felt fun making music again. I have been doing some shows as well. I did like my first headline show in Melbourne in May as well, I think, probably in May. And that was really fun. Had quite a few people there. And I've also been opening for lots of like amazing artists. In August, I got to open for this really sick Korean-American artist called Hojin. And those shows were like probably the most exciting shows this year that I played. But yeah, I've just been having like a really good time with music again. And I feel like it's important because, you know, I guess in creative careers, it's easy to get like burnt out and like question why you do it and like question, you know, why you even started. But if you can have fun with it, I feel like, I don't know, that's important, you know?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And it sounds like you feel more in touch with your creative side again, which is really cool as well, because obviously you've been going through a lot with like all of that as well, because it must have been a lot of like pressure to keep, you know, like on the go with all these projects that you jumped on.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Yeah, like I was saying, like burnout is so, like I was definitely feeling like very burnt out before this year. And yeah, I don't think I was enjoying making music as much, but now I've definitely found that love for it again.
It's so good to hear it as well. And I'm looking forward to it as well. So yeah. You said that you were of Filipino and Ghanaian born. Can you please tell us your upbringing while getting into music?
So yeah, I was born in Hong Kong. My mom is from the Philippines. My dad is from Ghana and they met in China and then moved to Hong Kong. And that's where they had me and my brother. And I feel like they were always like really into music, like listening to it. My dad plays the guitar and he sings as well. But I didn't really start like getting into it until I was in New Zealand. And I was very like blessed to be able to be enrolled into like music lessons and did piano lessons from like quite young. And my parents also like put me in like a musical theater and like acting classes and stuff like that, which was like, it all like led to like, I guess where I am now and like the excitement that I feel around music. But it definitely started from like that, like musical theater and like playing instruments, and then kind of just did that all through school. And it wasn't until later in life that maybe in high school that I started like writing songs and playing around on GarageBand. And yeah.
My next question as well is, it kind of like brings back to like your single actually, Download with J-Kitty. Can you tell us how's your music changed from when you first released Blue in 2021?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it's changed so much. I guess when I first started writing, I was very into like bedroom pop and bedroom R&B and lo-fi as well. So, and I guess as like an amateur producer, like it's like easier to make like lo-fi kind of music. So that was like the sound that I was really exploring. And like I collaborated with others as well. And like one of my friends, Natalie Grasser, her producer name's Namesake, we worked on a lot of stuff together and we were both really into like bedroom R&B. So that was kind of the sound that I was going for, and very like, yeah, very stripped back kind of sounds like that. But I honestly feel like I've started making like pop music now, and I feel like that is what my voice suits the best, and it's what comes like most naturally to me. And I feel like, you know, you've got to do that. You've got to like explore lots of different sounds before finding what comes naturally to you and what you enjoy making the most. And I realized that I didn't really enjoy performing like R&B or like, I mean, it's fun to make, but I didn't really enjoy like the live performance aspect of it. And now that I'm like making pop music, I feel like I enjoy performing so much more, and I enjoy making music so much more and writing.
I'm actually quite shocked to hear that you didn't like performing. Like, I, from my perspective, performing gets you to be more invested and also like intimate with your audience, right? Like, can you tell us more about what made you feel like you didn't like it? Was it like the stage? Was it like just personal reasons?
Yeah, I think it was partially like, I guess the music, when you're making music, I wouldn't say that it felt ingenuine to me, the music I was making, because at the time that's what I wanted to make. But I feel like when you come more into your sound, that's when you naturally start pushing yourself in terms of performing. I wouldn't say that I completely dislike performing, but I think also I was getting a bit burnt out, like I was mentioning earlier, just because I was doing so many gigs. This was back when I lived in Perth in Western Australia, and I was doing a lot of gigs, like every single week. A lot of people there like play on the regular, and it makes them amazing musicians, but it definitely very quickly leads to like burnout. So sometimes I'd be playing like 2-3 gigs a week, and I was like, this is so, it's so exhausting and not at all sustainable. And now I definitely play like less gigs and really focus in those gigs when I do play them, which I think is like works a lot better for me.
That sounds really good as well, and it sounds like it's really improved like your way of thinking when it comes to working into those spaces as well. Speaking of those spaces as well, I've researched as well, and I've listened to your new EP Jewel Wave as well. Like, you worked with artists like Aria Woods and Soletta. I love that song of Soletta, by the way. Not from your EP, but like the single. Can you like tell us like how do you approach different creatives and artists in the industry to work and collaborate with you?
Well, personally, I love collaborating. Like, I feel like it's one of the things that brings me like the most joy in doing music. And it's still something that I do struggle with, like approaching someone first. You really do have to put yourself out there to like work with other people, and you have to message them. And obviously, like doing collaborations in person is very ideal. Like, if you can collaborate with someone in person, if you can meet that person in real life, then like just go for it and do everything you can. But, you know, it's not always possible. I guess like a lot of the people that I want to collaborate with, you know, don't live in the same country or city. So the advice I'd give is definitely connect on social media, but, you know, do your research, listen to their discography, see how their sounds progressed, so that like you know what they like and whether that aligns with like what you like and what you're making. And if you want to collaborate in the first place, I guess it probably does. Don't be scared to reach out to these people. The chances are they probably want to collab with you as well, or when they do listen to your stuff, if you like them, then there might be something that resonates with them as well about you, if that makes sense. That was a very long-winded way of saying just reach out.
It doesn't matter how long it was. It's honestly like, because I can relate to you as well, because obviously, again, like I said before, we've known each other online, and it makes me want to see and reach out to you more and more, not just because we're both like Filipino, but also as creatives, we want to grow and develop each other, right?
Exactly, 100%. If you want to, you know, build community, we should be collaborating more. I think in Australia and New Zealand, people don't collaborate as much as like I see in like spaces and scenes overseas. And I feel like we need more of that. Everyone kind of sticks to their own and keeps it within their own circles. But we should all venture out across genres, across cultures, you know?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I agree with that, because like it's kind of hard when you, like you said, it's kind of hard to like reach out to it when it's like different personalities and different cultures and also like different spaces. How does your artistry and culture go well together?
I think my culture is always going to, you know, influence my storytelling and the way I talk about my experiences. Obviously, like growing up in New Zealand as a person of color, it's so different to growing up in like a lot of other places. And, you know, there's a lot of feelings, I'm sure you can relate, there's a lot of feelings of like isolation, especially like we've come so far in terms of diversity, but back in the day, it was like, it wasn't as progressive as it is now. So yeah, there's definitely like, I definitely like tap on a lot of feelings of like isolation. And a lot of the music I'm writing right now, I don't know, like, I feel like it's just important to, you know, tell those stories, because, you know, other people might be able to relate to it and, yeah, meaning from it as well. Sorry, that was such a terrible answer.
No. It's honestly like the same thing I was going to ask you about, like, So like when you said it before, like, do you think that representation has improved between Asian people of color, of artists or creatives now, or has it improved since then?
Yes, 100%, it's 100% improved, but we still have a very long way to go. Like, you know, a lot of blogs will post like top 10, you know, Southeast Asian artists. You don't really need to post like, those are important posts to make, but maybe just include more Southeast Asian artists in like general posts, you know. I feel like there's a lot of like separation that goes on when it's like, I think the solution is just like including more of the Southeast Asian artists in your like general posts. Like why do they need like separate posts? Yeah, I think we've come a very long way in terms of representation, but I still feel like it can be very black and white sometimes. Like, I guess like being like a mixed race artist, and you know, when I go back to the Philippines, like colorism is still such a huge thing. It's a cliche, but I feel like disconnected from both my cultures at times. And yeah, going back to the Philippines, like, cause I have darker skin, I feel like I'll never be seen as like a Filipino person, or like I never get seen as like a Southeast Asian artist really. And I feel like it's the artists that like, I guess, present are typically Asian artists that kind of get, it's like hard to say, like it's hard to word it, but they kind of get like featured as like, I don't know, like,
no,
do you get what I'm trying to say?
No, I get it, because like I'm the same, because when I came back to the Philippines last year in May, I had blonde hair, I had kind of lighter skin to what I have now, because I was having the approval of my family and also the approval of others, because again, like you said, colorism is such a big thing in the Philippines. People are trying to like get more lighter, get more whiter skin, because it's like the culture that itself that's been brought into.
Exactly.
So I totally get what you're trying to say as well, and there's nothing else that we can say about it, because it's just the culture that we kind of was raised into.
Yeah, but I guess like in Australia, I think like an important thing is, you know, when there's like blogs that are talking about like Asian artists, you know, I guess like featuring artists that don't necessarily look like what you think an Asian artist is supposed to look like, you know?
Yeah, a good example of this, Bruno Mars, Filipino, but not many people know that he has those features of being Filipino. You announced that you were going to release a single called Time Machine, which comes out this Thursday.
Yes.
It's all about nostalgia, right? So my questions lead up to like, what does nostalgia mean to you, or what does it mean to you?
I would say that I'm not a very nostalgic person. Like, I do get nostalgic, but I feel like it's not something that, like, I know some people that are very nostalgic people. Like, day to day, they'll be like, remember this. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember that. But I think nostalgia is important. Like, I guess that song, Time Machine, it's about, you know, when you're going through like a tough time with someone, remembering all the good times you had and all the beautiful moments, and then just dwelling on those, and I guess like using that to like help your relationship grow. And so I think nostalgia can be very important in that sense with the people you love. Yeah, remembering all the good times you have. But I also think it can also be something that you shouldn't get too stuck on. I don't think nostalgia can, when in huge amounts, I don't think it's a very healthy emotion, because there's this quote that says, nostalgia is a liar. It always assumes that things were better than they were. And I think that when you're too nostalgic, which is kind of like the opposite of what I'm saying in my song, but like when you're too nostalgic, you can just get stuck in a rut and stuck in the past. So I think like whilst that song is about nostalgia, I also think it's about being present, creating new memories, creating new moments, using nostalgia as a tool, but not getting stuck in it.
Honestly, that's so lovely, because like there are a lot of people who need to hear that, don't get stuck upon the past, because it's kind of like the analogy of a book, right? Where you can't stay in a chapter to move forward, like you can't progress a story. And if you're still stuck in the same chapter. So like you said, it's so beautiful as well. Like time is such a concept. It doesn't necessarily mean like years ago. So like I'm so looking forward to like hearing your song about it, because I read those lyrics that you and Anna wrote, and I was just like, whoa, I can't wait to. No, they're so cute. Is there like moments where you guys like sing like together, or is it just separate?
Yeah. So in the last chorus, we sing together, and that's like my favorite part of the song, because I feel like our voices blend really well together. I'll just send it to you after this, but like I'm very excited for you to hear it.
I only heard like little bits from the audio tracks that you sent me, but like I was just like, whoa, hold up.
Oh,
it sounds, it's,
thank
it's,
you.
It sounds different, your recent one with Download, but it's kind of same, if that makes sense. But
it's more ballady, I guess. Like, you know, it's more stripped, like not stripped back. It's still quite electronic, but it feels more emotional and ballady.
That's just the Filipino way, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Ballad songs are like our go-to, so like it's a given that you two would do that.
Yeah, maybe this might be a karaoke staple.
Not like your song karaoke at your EP though, right?
Oh, yeah, that one isn't really a karaoke song, but I love that you listen to the EP.
Our show Walao promotes Southeast Asian artists and the diaspora creatives. Do you think having more spaces like ours, like a radio show based around our culture, is important in the next generation?
Yes, I think like having, yeah, radio shows like yourself is so important because like we were talking about representation before, and you know, there's still such a long way to go. So it's important that people create those spaces for themselves where they can, you know, tell their stories and get their voice heard. And it's important that you're doing that and creating that space for others. Yeah, it's definitely important. And I'm very thankful to be on the show. So thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you for, honestly, like you are such a busy person and I understand that you are very busy. So I am so excited to like hear from you.
Yeah, I was very like, happy when you reached out, and yeah, very excited to do the show. Like I always get nervous for interviews, but you made the experience very comfortable, and yeah, you're a great like host and presenter.
Much aroha to you. Thank you so much, Jewel.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.